sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that He loves you, He cares about you, and He wants to meet the need in your life. This is Messages on Demand.
Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 12, verses 39 through 40 tells us about the thief and the night, and that we don't know at what hour the thief will come. My question, has any of you ever had a thief break into your home, your vehicle, or try to steal other property of yours? Most people probably at some time in your life have had that happen. I was thinking back as I was preparing this message. When I was in my late teens, a thief broke into our home, and my dad was sleeping on the living room couch for some reason that night. I believe my mom was babysitting, and she had the child she was babysitting in the bedroom with her. And the thief entered through the kitchen door and went into the living room. And there he saw my dad sleeping. Well, besides seeing my dad sleeping, he also saw his wallet, which he took and then left the house. We were unaware of his even being there until my dad went to look for his wallet that morning. We later found the wallet on the patio of our neighbor's house. Then, when I was in the Army and I was undergoing my training for my MOS that I'd been assigned to, there had been reports of a barracks thief, someone who would come into your barracks where you were sleeping at night and steal from the various people that were there. I slept on a top bunk, and one night as I'm asleep, I felt something tugging at my neck. And I woke up just briefly and looked up, and as I glanced up, I saw a tall person who immediately slammed my head back down into the pillow and took off running. He was trying to break the chain that held on my dog tags, which also had the key to my locker. He was planning to steal anything I had of value out of my locker. Then several years after that, on a Wednesday evening at a time when my family and I would normally be at church, a thief broke into our home. You see, church had been canceled that evening because we were having a special event that was going to run Thursday through Sunday, so we were not having Wednesday night that week. But we left about the same time as usual. But we came back just a very short time later. And when we walked in the front door, a thief who had crawled into our home through a apparently unlocked kitchen window was in our house. He heard us coming in through the front door and he went out the back door. What really made us aware of the fact that he'd even been there was the fact that, number one, the kitchen window was open, and number two, the back door was open, which we never left it open. Neither of these instances were we expecting a thief, but the thief found a way to enter our home. He found a way to enter the barracks that I was in, and by the way, that particular thief, a few weeks later, they brought us all out to a formation lineup and watched as the MPs came in and arrested this particular man who had been stealing from our barracks. So he got caught. But even though we had locked doors, we have our items locked up, we lock our vehicles sometimes, a thief will sometimes still find a way to steal those things that we have. I bring this up because we're living in a time that is spoken of and Bible prophecy. The period of time that we in the church world generally refer to as the last days. And I've told you before, and I want to tell you again, I believe and I know without a doubt, when God called me into the ministry at the age of 14, that as He spoke to me, He said, "I want you to be a last days preacher." And I believe He meant by that, as the years have gone by, that He wanted to be a preacher who was preaching in the last days. I know the churches thought they were in the last days since shortly after the disciples. In fact, some during their lifetime thought that they had possibly missed the rapture and things like that. But Jesus talks about this in Matthew chapter 24, and it says, starting with verse 1, "As Jesus left, He was going out of the temple complex. His disciples came up and called His attention to the temple buildings. Then He replied to them, 'Don't you see all these things? I assure you, not one stone will be left here on another that will not be thrown down.'" In other words, see this magnificent building here? Took them years to build. He says, "I'm telling you, it's going to be destroyed. Not one stone will be left on another." Then it goes on in verse 3, "While He was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples approached Him privately and said, 'Tell us, when will all these things happen? And what is the sign of Your coming and of the end of the age?'" And I know some translations say the end of the world, but the end of the age is really the proper translation here. What's going to happen? What's going to be the signs of Your coming back? You've said You're going to come back, all of these things. Well, what's going to be the signs of it? Well, verses 4 through 44 go on and tell us of some of the events that took place that Jesus said would happen. And as we read of those events that they recorded here in these verses, we go ahead and we read the events that are recorded in the book of Revelations. The majority of that stuff, in fact, the vast majority of the stuff recorded in Revelations has not yet occurred, but we're getting on the cusp of it happening. It will soon take place. And so we know that we're living in those times that Jesus spoke about. And we hear ministers preach on this subject. And unfortunately, some have even set dates as to when it was going to happen. I remember just a few years ago here in the Nashville, Tennessee area, there were huge billboards proclaiming that Jesus was coming back, basically. I don't remember the exact wording, but basically saying He was coming back on such and such date that year. Well, it didn't happen, obviously. Times before that dates have been set, it didn't happen. Some ministers have even lost their credibility because they unfortunately set dates that Jesus was going to return. But you know, the secular world also abounds in conspiracy theories, and some even with ties to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, ties even to the book of Revelation. And many of these folks, I want you to know, are also trying to sell you a product that you can use to prepare to be ready for these coming events. Well, my friend, first of all, I want you to know, if I'm a Christian, I'm looking forward to the rapture of the church, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have to hide stuff away and build me a bunker underground to prepare for the coming of my Lord and Savior, because He is my Lord and King, and I'm going to be with Him. So why would I need all this stuff? And unfortunately, it's some preachers that are trying to sell you some of this stuff. One of the most recent things that I've heard about, the people trying to tie the end of days, the end of the world, in the secular realm, is to do with the planet X, or Nibiru. And I guess it's been talked about over quite a few years. As I did a little research on it, I found out they predicted it would first cause great global catastrophe in the year 2003. Well, as you can see, that didn't happen. Then they also predicted it would happen in 2012, and then again in 2014. And neither time did these events that were predicted take place. They also have now predicted that in November of 2017, just a few short months away, that these catastrophic events will happen. It even tries to tie it in with the book of Revelation for those who believe in Bible prophecy. And if you're a Christian, you should believe in Bible prophecy. You should believe what the Word of God says, because it will happen. But it's not necessarily going to happen the way somebody who writes a book comes along and tells you. So he's trying to say that this is concurrent with the prediction of the star Wormwood in Revelation chapter 8. And you can read yourself what it has to say. I'll have to say, apparently, the author of this particular book that's out right now, that's this current theory, forgot to read the preceding chapters, because there are events that have to happen according to the Word of God. And if they're in the Word of God, then they will happen the way that it says they will happen. They have to happen before that event takes place. And it's very highly unlikely that those events could all happen in the next couple of months. But by the way, he's also telling you how you can prepare and be ready for this coming global catastrophe that he's projected in his book that's going to happen. Also stated, as I read on it, that they had projected that this happened, this planet X came into this position with our planet 4,000 years ago. Well, Earth's still around. So apparently that great catastrophe didn't happen then. In fact, the only great catastrophe that happened about 4,000 years ago was the flood that God said he was going to send. And it had nothing to do with Planet X. The Bible goes on and tells us in Matthew chapter 24, which apparently the author of that book on Planet X didn't bother to read as well, especially verse 36. It says, "Now concerning the day and hour, no one knows." I'm sorry, Mr. Author. I'm sorry, preacher, that's predicted a date. The Bible tells us you don't know. It says, neither the angels in heaven. The angels don't know. You can't say some angel came and revealed it to me, because the angels don't know. It says, nor the Son, except the Father only. I stress that, except the Father only. Goes on. As the days of Noah were, he's telling us some of the events that are going to transpire before this event, so we can know it's at hand. He did tell us that. We could know the signs of the times. As in the days of Noah were, so the coming of the Son of Man will be. Well, if you go back and you read in Genesis about the days of Noah, you find out the world had become so wicked that God repented. He'd even made man. He was sorry he had made man. Think about it. It got so bad, God was sorry about it. For in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah boarded the ark. They didn't know until the flood came and swept them all away. So this is the way the coming of the Son of Man will be. Well, I'll tell you, if you go back and you read about things were as in the days of Noah, you go back and you read about how things were in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, we're living in days that are extremely similar to those. The world has become a horrible place. as far as the amount of sin that's abundant in the world today. There's even an abundance of sin in the church. And some of you that might listen to this message, you know what I'm talking about when I talk about the sins that's in the church today. There are people in the pulpit today that need to get saved. Goes on to say, then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one left. Can you imagine this? I want to stop here just a moment. You're out in the field working, guys. Or you're at your job. You know, when this was written, they didn't think about the type of jobs. They didn't know about, they didn't understand about the type of jobs that we have today. But you're at your workplace. You've got somebody sitting at the desk or in the cubicle next to you. You've got somebody on the assembly line next to you. You've got somebody riding in the cab of that truck with you. You've got two men in an Uber or Lyft car. Two people. That's the important point here. It's trying to make two people. And suddenly, one is gone. One has vanished. Ladies, it talks the same thing here about you. Women work a lot in secular jobs today where they didn't necessarily do so back when this was written. But it still applies the same. Two are there, one is gone. Suddenly. I can just imagine you're standing there face to face talking to somebody and suddenly, just like that, they're gone. Right in mid-sentence, they're gone. Well, you talk about the shock. You talk about the catastrophe. You talk about the damage that will be wrought. Suddenly, millions will disappear. Goes on in verse 34, or 42 rather. Therefore, be alert, since you don't know what day your Lord is coming. Be alert. You don't know when this is going to happen. I want to tell you, as I'm recording this message right now, it could happen before this ever gets on the air this afternoon. It could happen that soon. Be alert. But know this. If the homeowner had known what time the thief was coming, he would have stayed alert and not let his house be broken into. You see, today, especially here in the United States, I don't know so much about those of you that are listening in other countries, but a lot of homes have a sign out front, protected by ADT or what other name it might be. I remember being an associate pastor at a church where we put a sign out front. We didn't have a security system like we normally think of. But they had a sign out front, protected by Trinity Alarm. And what he was referring to is God was protecting our place. The next building we were in, by the way, we didn't put a sign out like that. And guess what? It got broke into and set on fire. But we need to be alert. We need to know the signs of the times. We need to know that it is time that Jesus is coming soon. That great catching away that the Bible talks about, that moment when we will be changed and the twinkling of an eye is about to take place, that moment when the dead in Christ are raised, those events are at hand. It's going to happen so fast, it says it's going to take place in the twinkling of an eye. And I've often thought, what would it look like when all those people come out of the graves, or those bodies come out of the graves and they're transformed in the twinkling of an eye? But it's so fast, we're not going to really see it if you're left behind. So I don't know if there'll even be any way that will be captured on film or anything. But it's going to take place. 44 again. This is why you must also be ready, because the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. And folks, the world is not expecting Jesus to come back. And unfortunately, and this is heartbreaking, a lot of the church world is not expecting Jesus to come back. Some are preaching that he's going to come back at the end of the tribulation period. And, I don't know how they combine some of their theology and make it match up with the Bible. But let's face it, if you're living through the tribulation period and you've read the Bible of any extent at all, you're going to be able to figure things out and know things. And even though you might not know the exact time, you're going to get it down pretty close because, hey, it's what the Bible said, and I can put two and two together, and I can put a time frame here because it's all on a time frame. The point that Jesus is trying to get across, not only to his disciples, but to us as well, is that we need to be ready. We need to be prepared. We need to know within our hearts and lives, Jesus is coming, and we don't know exactly when, but it could be any time. You know, it said again, and I repeat this again because I think this may be one of the most important verses that I read today. Verse 44, this is why you must also be ready, because the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. So the question arises, who do you believe? Do you believe those that have made predictions and failed? Do you believe those who've studied the stars and the planets and they say a particular planet is going to come and it's going to wreck all of this destruction? But they say nothing about the coming of the Lord in this, by the way. All these things are going to happen. They throw the Bible in to try to sucker in some Christians, I'm sure. And they've made these predictions time after time, and they've failed time after time. So do you believe them? Or do you believe what God's Word says? Do you believe the people who can't get it right? Or do you believe what the Bible, God's Word, says? I'll readily admit I'm not the smartest and most knowledgeable theologian on the face of the planet. A lot of things I don't know. But I do know what Jesus said and what God revealed in the book of Revelations and other parts of the Bible. And even if I don't understand all of it, I know beyond a doubt that we don't know the day or the hour, but that we are to be ready. Jesus said, you also must be ready. Have you got that? Do you also must be ready? So some might ask the question, well, how do I get ready? Well, first of all, it doesn't help you to get ready by buying all this stuff from somebody that's peddling stuff that's not going to help you when that takes place, unless, of course, you're one that's left behind, and then it might come into some good for you. But to be ready to go when Jesus comes, that's not going to help you. It doesn't help by sending a large donation to this ministry. And God knows we could use some donations, but it doesn't help you to send them here as far as being ready. Or some of the other things that people may tell you to do. And I'm sure there's a lot of things that people can tell you that you need to do to get ready. Just turn on some of the AM radio stations. Just turn on some of the television channels. And they'll tell you how to prepare. for this event that's going to take place, but they leave God out of it. The way to prepare, the way to be ready, starts by being ready in your spirit. Did you hear that? It starts by being ready in your spirit. First, is your heart right with God? That's the most important part of it. Is your heart right with God? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Because if you have not done that, then you are not ready no matter what you do. You can send money to the church. You can buy survival gear. You can buy all of this stuff. But if your heart's not right with God and you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are not ready. So are you ready? Second, are you living in a daily relationship with God? Have you let the cares of life creep in? Have you let the things of the world sneak in and steal your joy, steal your love, steal your compassion, steal all these other things? Or are you living in a relationship with God so that you know that He's in control, that you're His child, and that He loves you? I tell you, 4.5 years ago when I was laying in a hospital and the doctors were really not quite sure if I'd ever leave that hospital, going through some struggles outside, decisions that had to be made, things that had to take place, and the cares of life were pressing on me. And I asked God, what do I do? And He spoke to me, my precious, precious child. Oh, when I heard those words, I knew that everything was going to be okay. Because you see, I have a relationship with God. And if you're a Christian, you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have a relationship with the God of the universe. The God who created all things. We tell you each program that God loves you. He cares about you. He meets the needs, wants to meet the needs in your life. But I want you to also remember, you make the ultimate decision as to how it goes. You can turn your back and walk away from God. You can say, I don't want any part of this, and be lost. Simple as that. I'm sorry. The world doesn't want you to know that you can be lost. Some churches don't want you to know you can be lost. Yes, God loves you. Yes, God cares about you. But you make the decision whether you accept His love and His keeping and His taking care of you. You make that decision. John chapter 10, verse 10 tells us this. A thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come so that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Do you have life? Do you have it more abundantly? Do you want Jesus to be in your heart today? If you've never accepted Him as your personal Savior, or maybe you've turned your back and are not where you're supposed to be, not have that relationship the way it should be, now is the time to prepare. Now is the time to get ready. The thief is coming. We can prepare by having Jesus Christ in our heart and life. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ in your heart, or maybe you've strayed away and you've turned your back on Him, just ask Him to come back into your heart. Dear Jesus, come into my heart today. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me from the things that shouldn't be there by the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. And Jesus, I thank You for becoming my Savior today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.
You have been listening to Messages on Demand. If you have been blessed by this message, please let us know. You may contact us by email at pastor@tlhf.us. Again, that's pastor@tlhf.us. Or by clicking on the Contact Us button on the homepage of our website, www.tlhf.us. Messages on Demand is a Didaskalos production, a ministry of the Lord's House Fellowship.